This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. The high-stakes political fight over the future of the Supreme Court is impossible to ignore, so that's where we're going to begin today. Christine Blasey Ford, who alleges that Supreme Court nominee Judge Brett Kavanaugh assaulted her when they were teenagers, will testify before the Senate Judiciary Committee on Thursday. So will Kavanaugh, setting up a stunning confrontation that brings to mind the 1991 hearings in which Anita Hill accused then-Supreme Court nominee Clarence Thomas of sexual harassment. Then a second woman has come forward, telling the New Yorker magazine that Kavanaugh allegedly sexually assaulted her, this time during his time at Yale. White House counsel Kellyanne Conway told CBS this morning that it's starting to feel like a vast left-wing conspiracy and that Kavanaugh has unfairly become a lightning rod for women looking for justice.
I know there's pent-up demand for women to get their day, women who have been sexually harassed and sexually assaulted, and I personally am very aggrieved for all of them. But are we going to put decades of pent-up demand for women to feel whole on one man's shoulders?
To talk about this dramatic fight for the Supreme Court in the Me Too era, we're joined by Nancy Gertner. She's a retired federal judge, a senior lecturer at Harvard Law School, and a legal analyst for WBUR. Nancy, always good to have you. Thanks for coming in.
Good to be here.
And joining us from Waco, Texas, is Ilya Shapiro. He's a senior fellow in constitutional studies at the Cato Institute, editor-in-chief of the Cato Supreme Court Review. And Ilya Shapiro, welcome back to the show. It's good to have you.
Good to be on again.
And listeners, we want to hear from you. We want to know what you're thinking about all of this. Do you find the accusations against Judge Kavanaugh to be credible? Do you think Democrats are using the issue as a stall tactic? What does all of this mean in the context of the Me Too movement? Give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. You can also tweet us at Radio Boston. Nancy, let me start with you. You said before these new allegations surfaced yesterday that you believe that the FBI should investigate Christine Blasey Ford's claims. What would that process look like, and why do you feel it's important?
Well, let's start without an investigation. Without an investigation, it is purely he said, she said, where the senators and are just trying to figure out who's telling the truth. And you run the risk in a situation like that where you know nothing else except the words out of their mouths, that all the old tropes come through, all the old stereotypes. And, you know, whereas with Anita Hill, the trope was women always lie. Today, and I think this is something that Judge Kavanaugh should be concerned about, the trope could be women never lie. When you have an FBI investigation, you at least open it up to the possibility of analyzing the circumstances of the alleged assault. Are there other people there? What was the timing of it? What kind of corroboration? And looking into the circumstances of her complaint. What were the circumstances of her telling her husband, her therapist, anybody else know? How did she frame it? All the kinds of things that one would do. In any ordinary case, one never deals with an issue by simply appearing. As I wrote in the New York Times last week, except on Judge Judy, in all other settings, we do an investigation, not a lengthy investigation, but you do an investigation so that you know you're doing more than just seat-of-the-pants credibility decisions.
So you get beyond the he said, she said. Right. Ilya Shapiro, what do you think? Do you agree that an FBI investigation would be helpful to uncover the truth in this case?
Not in this case. We've had an investigation. I mean, the whole allegations were raised much too late at the 11 and a half hour, I would put it. Not on the eve of the hearing, as with Clarence Thomas and Anita Hill, but far after, on the eve of the vote. The Judiciary Committee did its best to contact all the people that Dr. Ford named. They've all denied being at the party or that Kavanaugh did anything like this. The FBI put that information into the file, but at this point, there's really not much to do. It is an evaluation of whatever evidence is presented. I don't know if Dr. Ford, if and when this hearing goes off on Thursday, if she has anything more to say or more evidence or anything like that. But at this point, and this is partly or largely the fault of Dianne Feinstein, the ranking member on the Judiciary Committee, for sitting on it for so long until, I guess, the Senate Democrats realized there's no way to stop or delay this confirmation without raising this scenario in such an unusual way.
But why not? I mean, as Nancy Gertner suggested, bring in the FBI and have a real investigation, because nothing that you said actually speaks to that specific issue. I mean, these facts haven't been, or this issue, these questions haven't been investigated independently. Why not bring in an independent investigation?
It was investigated by the Judiciary Committee, their staff members. I think the Democratic staff wasn't as involved because they were instructed not to be, but this is one of the demands, certainly, that Dr. Ford made, and Chairman Grassley, in responding, said that this is not the FBI's role to be a free-floating investigator of any and all allegations, and at this point, it's just not the, you know, this is not a process to win vindication or justice for Dr. Ford. It's to ascertain the qualification and character of Brett Kavanaugh and whether he should be confirmed to the Supreme Court. And at this point, there's just no role for the FBI to do anything. We've had statements from all the purported witnesses, unless Dr. Ford has more to give us.
Right. Nancy?
Well, I think, first of all, the notion of too late. The notion is of what is too late is because of the Republicans' schedule. This is too late only because of a schedule that they have contrived. It's not too late were this to be an ordinary nomination proceeding at the ordinary pace. In addition, the role of the FBI is what the president wants it to be. The FBI does the preliminary background investigation. As I said, my background investigation included list everyone you have ever lived with and tell me all the illegal drugs that you ever took. None of this had any relationship to my competence as a judge, but nevertheless, it went to character. So the FBI could go back into that mix if they wanted to. And then, again, this is not an ordinary job application. This is the Supreme Court. It's not even an ordinary judicial application. So it seems to me there's the notion that we would not take a pause, both, frankly, for Judge Kavanaugh and for Professor Ford, and take a closer look at this just leaves, I have no idea why.
Ilya Shapiro, do we know, I'll ask you both, but I'll start with you, Ilya. I mean, do we know in the past, has there ever been a case of hearings for a Supreme Court nominee that has been subjected to an FBI investigation?
Well, the Clarence Thomas Anita Hill is the only example in so many ways that you can even possibly parallel this to.
Yeah.
And there, the allegations were more extensive, and there were plenty of witnesses around, and it was much earlier in the process. You know, at this point, Kavanaugh has passed 6 background investigations. His confirmation is going longer than the judge is simply mistaken that it's not some sort of accelerated pace. His process, even before the Dr. Ford's allegation, was going longer than the last half dozen justices. So, you know, maybe if Dianne Feinstein was so concerned originally when she first got wind of this, maybe at that point you'd do something, but she wasn't. And we have it on the record that she told her staff members that that she thought that it wasn't worth pursuing. And now all of a sudden, as an 11th hour delayed in the interest of what Minority Leader Chuck Schumer said was fighting this nominee with every fiber of his being, we're going to go into this sort of thing. I mean, we'll see what happens in the hearing.
Yeah,
there could be, if it opens up a can of worms or something, but based on what we know now, it's simply not justified.
It's hard to imagine a bigger
reopen the investigation.
It's hard to imagine a bigger can of worms than this particular can, but just saying.
Let me just a little bit of news. I mean, this is so hot and stuff continues to come out of Washington. So GOP Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, he's speaking right now as we're on the air, and he's just accused the Democrats of using stall tactics and a shameful smear without a lick of evidence. Quote, this shameful, shameful smear campaign has hit a new low. Senate Democrats and their allies are trying to destroy a man's personal and professional life on the basis of decade-old allegations that are unsubstantiated and uncorroborated. Let's take a call, Nancy and Ilya. Let's go to Connor, who's calling from Fall River. Go ahead, Connor. You're on the air. Good to have you.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for talking about this topic. So, you know, a nomination of the Supreme Court for a lifetime appointment is a very serious matter. And if there are serious accusations coming forward, they should hear all sides and render judgment as appropriate. Now, I think there should be some due consideration for activities that occurred when one was a minor. But there should be due process, and they should hear all sides before rendering judgment.
All right, Connor, I appreciate you putting that idea on the table. Nancy and Ilya, pick up on what Connor's talking about. I mean, due consideration to what might or might not have happened, but the fact, I'll start with you, Nancy, these are activities that happened, at least in terms of Christine Blasey Ford's allegations, when they were both minors.
I agree that is, there's no question that that's important. But as I said, what was the relevance of asking each and every judicial nominee whatever illegal drugs they experimented with in college, nominees that are in their 40s or 50s? I mean, the answer is this position is not an ordinary employment application. This position, this is not an issue of, for example, criminal charges. No one is talking about that. You're talking about a bar that is a very high bar. And again, the timing of this is really not determined by the desire to get to the bottom here. The timing of this is determined by the midterm elections, and I think everyone should say that. Let me say one other thing. I don't think that Senator Feinstein showered herself in glory either, but that doesn't address the question of
not bringing
this stuff forward. Right. There's no question about that. But that still doesn't mean that you ignore accusations that are in front of you. I think for Judge Kavanaugh's sake as well, he'd want to be able to address this and you know, get rid of these accusations if he can.
Ilya Shapiro, I'm struck by, you know, listening to what Mitch McConnell is just saying in this hour and the fact that people like Lindsey Graham have pretty much said they're going to be voting for Kavanaugh pretty much no matter what. I mean, it prompts me to ask, has the confirmation process for Supreme Court seats been just too compromised by this divisive political environment to ever really get to the bottom of some truth here?
Well, that's a much larger discussion. And I think after this process, I've come to the conclusion personally that we should not have confirmation hearings, that they do more harm than good for the public discourse, that
interesting
nominees, at least for the Supreme Court, have a long paper trail of opinions and writings and whatnot that they should be evaluated on. And this 50-year-old experiment, it's not that long that we've had hearings with nominees testifying. This 50-year-old experiment has simply run its course because of these political reasons that you allude to. But getting back more specifically to what's going on here, I imagine that what McConnell was referring to were the second and third allegations, the late last night stuff. And I agree, if that's what he's saying, then I agree with him that sort of thing, which is much fuzzier and in effect is jumping the shark, if you will, in a sense, discredits a little bit the original accusation by Dr. Ford, which we are going to be hearing all about. Nobody's sweeping that under the rug on Thursday, but that's more in the interest of transparency and public legitimacy. I agree, I think that I don't think any senator's vote is really going to be changed on Thursday after the hearing, unless we do hear something that has not yet come out.
Nancy, same question to you. I mean, just in terms of how politicized this process has become, Ilya Shapiro there suggesting that the era of these kinds of hearings has just run its course.
I don't see how you can do this without a hearing. The efficacy of the hearing is an open question, but I don't see how you can do this. Again, it's hard to imagine a more important position than this. I also want to put something in context. The Washington Post just did an op-ed in which they compared the extraordinary questions that Judge Kavanaugh would have asked President Clinton with respect to the Lewinsky matter, these incredibly explicit questions. It will be interesting if the judge takes the position on Thursday that those kinds of questions, which are should not be asked of him, that these inquiries shouldn't even take place, with the kind of explicitness that he was prepared to ask of President Clinton. I like it or not, this is where we are. And so I think we have to do it in the most objective and fair way possible, which means you don't throw him in front of the cameras and say, if in effect, what happened?
Nancy, I also want to ask you about Ilya Shapiro's point, these latest set of allegations, which were reported widely last night in The New Yorker regarding the story of Deborah Ramirez, who alleges that she was sexually assaulted by Brett Kavanaugh when they were in Yale. Does a second set of allegations coming over the weekend, does that change anything? Does it make the case stronger, weaker? What do you think?
It's hard to say. On the one hand, all the Me Too accusations, or most of them so far, has been he said, she said, she said, she said. If you recall, it was basically other people came forward. There are themes in the Ford accusations and this which are the same, which have to do with drinking and wild parties. That you know, and arguably one corroborates the other. But I do think that this needs to be looked at more carefully, not as you would, you know, should he be accused of a crime. These are older, and he's an older man now, and that doesn't make any sense. But in the way in which we subject Supreme Court nominees to searching questions about character and moral leadership, then these should be inquired about as well.
Hmm. Ilya Shapiro, I'll give you the last word here. How do you see this playing out? What do you expect to see on Thursday? Are you hopeful at all that something is going to be clarified on Thursday?
Well, I've been in print last week in both Politico and USA Today saying that I'm not hopeful. I don't think, you know, there is some value in having a public hearing to air these concerns for the public, but as I said, they're not going to resolve the issues, nor are they going to change any senators' vote. Potentially, they could give political wiggle room for red state Democrats who are up for re-election to vote no. Three of them voted for Gorsuch. We'll see if that happens this time. But if this comes, unless there's some new bombshell from Dr. Ford or some new evidence that we don't know about, or unless Judge Kavanaugh is completely, you know, displays himself unconvincingly and what have you, I don't see anything shifting, and we could see for the first time ever a purely party vote confirmation. I don't think that's healthy for the country.
Well, that's Ilya Shapiro, Senior Fellow in Constitutional Studies at the Cato Institute. He's Editor-in-Chief of the Cato Supreme Court Review. Thanks so much for joining us today from Texas, Ilya. We appreciate it.
My pleasure. Take care.
And Nancy Gertner, WBUR legal analyst. She's a retired federal judge and a senior lecturer at Harvard Law School. Nancy, thank you as well.
Thank you.
Stay with us. Coming up, Last Scene, WBUR and the Boston Globe's podcast about the world's largest art heist. Today, they're asking, what if it was an inside job? Stay with us. I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.